Hey folks, if you're being treated for anxiety and depression and you're still struggling, consider joining one of my DBT groups. Skills groups are a supportive, inclusive, cost-effective way to get the skills you need to create the life you want. Go to my website, rebeccashackney.com/groups for more information. Hi, I'm Rebecca Shackney. I spend my days teaching my clients to get out of their heads and into their lives with mindfulness. But sometimes I get stuck on critical thoughts about myself and my environment. But like everyone else, I'm trying to do better. This is A Therapist Takes Her Own Advice. In today's episode, David and I are discussing the DBT What skills. These are what you do to become more mindful.
All right. In last week's episode, we talked about mindfulness and ways of achieving mindfulness and the three states of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive into actual how do you do it? Like what the skills that you teach your clients to actually achieve mindfulness.
Okay.
So you had mentioned that there are two types, is the what skills and the how skills.
Correct.
Let's dive into the first set. Let's do the what skills.
So the what skills, the DBT what skills, are the steps to getting to becoming mindful. So they are observe, describe, and participate. So I often talk about this in terms of learning something new, driving a car. And when you first jump in to drive a car or start a new sport or really start anything, you're really observing and describing. You're really paying attention very intently, noticing everything. And then after you have a period of time, you can just do it. You can just get in and, you know, now I just get in and drive the car. I have muscle memory. I don't think about it. I participate in it. So the steps are to observing, describing, and participate, just noticing, adding words to what you notice, and then throwing yourself in wholeheartedly.
Great. So when you say observe, what do you mean?
So observe is simply noticing things with your five senses. So it's what you can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. And then that's how you take in your environment or the outside world. And then when you're talking about taking in your own internal world, you notice your thoughts, your emotions and sensations.
What do you mean by observing mindfully?
So when you observe mindfully, you're just taking in things as they are. You're just noticing the reality around you, what you're seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching, without pushing things away, without judging them, without criticizing them, just noticing them.
Do you have any examples of how you can observe mindfully? Like, what's an example of taking in the world mindfully?
So here's an example. So for instance, when I'm driving a car and I'm really in a hurry and I get stopped at a red light and I start to get annoyed. This always happens to me. Why do I have this luck? And I start maybe inching up and I feel my body is tensing up and heating up and all of these uncomfortable things are happening and I'm really annoyed. And then let's say that happens again, but on a day that I'm not in a really big hurry. And I stop at the red light and I start to observe. And I see what's around me. I maybe hear the music. I notice maybe for the first time that there's this beautiful building across the street that I've never looked at before. So the thing is that when you're in your head, judging, criticizing, reacting, you're causing yourself a lot more suffering because all of that annoyance in the first example did not change the reality of having to stop at the red light and possibly being a few minutes late, but probably not changing anything in your life for the worse. And then the second example, you're just taking in things as they are. You're having to stop at the red light. It's, you know, just accepting that as the reality of the situation. And then looking around, noticing in your environment, and really being in the moment and maybe gaining something out of it.
That's a very basic way of looking at the world, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a childlike way of looking at the world. In fact, when you think about looking at the world from a child's eye, that is a basic concept in mindfulness. It's called beginner's mind. You enter in to each experience without expectation, without preconception, and you just take it for what it is. You know, I remember once a few years ago when our youngest son was trick-or-treating, maybe he was 3 or 4. And it was such a revelation to walk up to each house and knock on the door and have a very nice person give him candy. And he was just in awe of the situation. And the thing is, he had done it before. He just couldn't remember. But it was such a beautiful example of beginner's mind, watching him experiencing this thing that felt like a brand new experience. And, you know, if we can enter into experiences like that and just take them for what they are, it's going to reduce a lot of our suffering and help us enjoy things a lot more.
Well, it sounds like it's not the easiest thing to remember to do, though, right?
No, it definitely takes practice. If you think about if you've spent the last whatever amount of time, you know, 20 years of your life, distracting and interpreting and living in your head, to undo that takes a lot of effort, but it's possible and it will relieve a lot of suffering.
All right. So once you've observed, then what's the next step?
So the next step is to describe, and describing is simply adding words to what you observe. So if you can't take it in with your senses or experience it in your body, you can't describe it. Describing is simply adding words to reality as it is, to what you observe. For example, if I walk into a room that is bright yellow and I don't find it very attractive, I could walk in and go, that is the ugliest color I've ever seen. That is not a description. Walking into a room and saying, wow, that color is really bright and it's not my favorite. That's a description. So the difference is describing things as they are, without your opinions, without your evaluations, without your judgments. One thing to keep in mind is that, you know, you may have a lot of skills. There is no way you can read other people's minds. So you can't describe what other people are thinking. You can't describe what other people are feeling. You can't describe other people's interpretations. A common situation that my clients will often tell me about is they will send a text and not get a response. Often they jump to criticism or judgment or things that make them feel a lot worse. So like their friend doesn't text them back, they start to wonder, you know, what did they do wrong? Why doesn't their friend like them? You know, rather than just accepting, hey, maybe they're busy right now. Maybe they can't get around to it. Maybe their phone died. We don't know. Just accepting the situation as it is. They add to the situation and it causes them a lot more pain.
It seems like something that is difficult to remember to do in a moment of emotion.
It absolutely is difficult to do in a moment of emotion. And it takes a lot of practice. But the thing is that if you start to feel your body becoming anxious or angry, and you can take a step back and just notice the sensations going on in your body and describe the thoughts, describe what's happening, it will help separate you from the emotion that is happening. And it will make it a little more tolerable. It'll also hopefully make it pass more quickly. So one thing that is true is that there is no thought, no feeling, no sensation that has remained in your body forever. Everything passes. So when you can take the step back and observe and describe what's happening in your body, you will notice how it changes. And on the other hand, when you try and push things away, I'm not going to think about that, I'm not going to look at that, I'm going to ignore that, they keep popping up and And that emotion, that thought, that sensation keeps popping up and demanding your attention.
Okay, so now we've observed, we've described, and then so what's the next step?
So the next step is to participate. And participate is when you throw your mind and body wholly into an activity. You become one with what you're doing. So you're completely unselfconsciously dancing or singing or writing or painting. It's connected to that the concept of flow. You know, your writing, your art, your creativity, whatever is just flowing right out of you without having to think about it. It's, you know, it's this completely unselfconscious, non-judgmental way of being in the world. So if you think about when you're observing and describing, that's like the rehearsal. And participating is like the performance. You can't be in your head. You can't be thinking about what the next line is. You're fully in it. You are the character on stage.
How do you know in the moment when to observe and describe and when to participate? Like, how do you apply these skills?
Okay. It's really important to take a step back and figure out which of these do you do the most naturally. So, for instance, somebody who is shy or socially anxious may spend a lot of time observing, taking a step back and just watching what's going on. While somebody who is more anxious and analytical may be constantly in their head interpreting and judging and critiquing everything that's happening. So the first person spends a lot more time observing. The second person spends a lot more time describing. And then there are those people who are just floating through the world without looking at themselves at all, they're just totally themselves, participating all the time without any pauses to notice how they're affecting the world around them. And those people are participating with abandon, without any limits on themselves. So if you're somebody who finds yourself observing a lot more, you want to practice describing and participating. Really, you know, practice throwing yourself into something. If you're somebody who's always in your head, you may want to practice taking a step back and just noticing and participating. And then if you're somebody who never takes a step back to look at themselves, you want to practice just observing and describing. Now, another thing, you know, if you are making mistakes when you're participating, if you're not getting it right, sometimes you have to stop and take a step back and do more rehearsal, do more observing and describing.
Let's do an example. Show me an example of how right now can observe, describe, and participate in this podcast, for example.
Okay. All right. So I want you to just take 30 seconds and notice the room around you. Just really take everything in with your eyes. And if you're at home listening to this, just take everything in around you. Really notice. What do you see? Without judgment. All right. So then now I want you to just describe what you're seeing.
I'm trying to be non-judgmental about the mess in here. but I see our basement. I see our couch and our carpet. And
what does it look like?
It's green and Chinese traditional carpet, and the microphones and the computer and
Okay. And when we're participating, we're just here in this basement, in this space, seeing each other, being with each other, aware of the outside world as a concept, but really here together. And that's what that's participating. It's when you're really just where you are, not in your head, not in the past, not in the future, just here in this moment. So we notice, you know, participating often happens when you see a kid swinging on the swings and sliding down the slides at a playground. They're just there. They're not thinking about what's for lunch. They're not thinking about school. They're just right there in that moment. They're not, you know, worried about how they look or what they're wearing. They're just enjoying themselves. They're just participating. When you see a dancer on stage, just participating. And you know that because if they were not participating, they would be making mistakes.
Any other tips for how to do this in your daily life?
So, you know, you can observe yourself just when you make your coffee in the morning. Just notice the sensations, notice the taste, notice the smell, notice how it feels, notice everything about it. Just take a few minutes and do that. Or eating your breakfast, brushing your teeth, having a conversation, just notice what's happening. And you can describe it non-judgmentally.
How is using these skills, what does that do to help you achieve overall mindfulness? What is the benefit of this?
So these are basically the steps to starting to be mindful in your life. So when you can, you know, you start out very basically just noticing, really noticing what's coming in through your five senses, what's going on in your mind without holding on to things, just noticing them and letting them go. You're not clinging to things. You're not obsessing on things. You're not ruminating. You're getting out of your head and into your life. Because the thing that causes us so much suffering are all the judgments that we have, all of the criticisms we have of ourselves and of other people, of the world. All of those things cause us pain, cause us suffering, really. I mean, it can be painful to stub your toe, but if you yell and scream at yourself and scream at your partner who put the book in the way that you stubbed your toe on and really get angry and hold on to that, that can cloud your whole day. But if you can just feel the pain of that one incident, it'll be uncomfortable, but you'll get through it and it'll go away. And then it will become a faint memory and it won't cloud the rest of your day, the rest of your week, the rest of your life.
So that is the what skills.
Yes.
In our next episodes, we're going to be looking at the how skills.
Right.
So what does that entail? Just give me a quick preview of what that's going to be like.
So with the what skills, observe, describe, and participate, you do those things individually, one at a time. And the how skills tell you how to observe, describe, and participate. You do those things non-judgmentally, one mindfully, and effectively.
Excellent. I look forward to that one.
Thanks so much for joining me today for A Therapist Takes Her Own Advice. Remember, the information shared here today is not a replacement for treatment with a licensed professional. If you've connected with what you've heard here and want to work with me, go to my website, RebeccaShackney.com, and send me a message through my contact page. And please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.